magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends. Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Mike, come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to Touch Arcade Show. It's episode number 392, recording on Friday, March 15th, the Friday before GDC. I am Eli. Jared's also here. And this is the Touch Arcade Show. Touch Arcade's best website on the internet for mobile game stuff. You can check it out by going to toucharcade.com. If you're someone that's just listening to this podcast and doesn't know about the website, that's an interesting situation that could exist, yeah. I suppose. Yeah. The website as well as the podcast, everything else is primarily sponsored by Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/touch arcade. If you're not in the Patreon thing, but do any shopping on Amazon, it would be ultra rad if you would do it through toucharcade.com/Amazon. So, your couple of cents on the dollar that Amazon would otherwise keep goes to the Touch Arcade affiliate account, which I think is like the only affiliate account that still exists anymore.
Yeah, for now.
Which is pretty cool.
Until Amazon decides that it's not worth it.
Yeah. So, what's been going on, Jared? You got anything new, exciting?
Nothing crazy new or exciting. It's been a hectic week with GDC coming up and trying to book appointments and get all that in a row for being ready for next week. I think it's going to be a busy one, but I'm looking forward to it being over.
Yeah.
I think things will smooth out a little bit the week after.
I was booking some meetings for game club stuff and was just kind of like pulling my hair out, being like, man, usually when I do GDC, we have like 2 to 3 months of planning, right. Not like 2 to 3 days.
Yeah. And it's surprisingly worked out okay. I've got most of the meeting slots filled out and some good stuff lined up, it seems. Although I'm sure there'll be some stinkers mixed in, as there always are. But hopefully it'll go okay.
I sent a couple of people your way, so hopefully there are no stinkers in that crowd, but you never know.
Yeah, I've got a lot of marketing influencers hitting me up.
Really?
Saying they talk to you, that you should told them to talk to me.
Oh, like real deal influencer people or what?
Oh, I don't know. Oh. Just like some lame stuff where I'm like...
Oh, yeah. I actually did send you very recently, just before this call, I'm not going to say anything at all. It'll be a surprise when it arrives in your inbox. Yeah. My week this week has been an exciting week in credit card drama.
What's going on?
Well, so I have this credit card that, like, I don't know, like the front, like, delaminated, you know, and it, like...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just like I stuck it in the chip machine and like the front edge like curled up messed everything up. And so I called, you know, like no problem. You would think to like just send me another card. Like that's cool. Uh-huh. Problem is though, like I guess the dude that like put it through on the computer, like marked the card as like there have been I don't know. Like, he misunderstood like why I was calling, I guess, because like he put it down that like I had all this like fraudulent activity on the card and like shut off the account and like all this shit.
Great, yeah.
So that was pretty fun to deal with, as like everything that I pay for monthly kind of like bills around this time.
Yeah.
So it's been a real cool week to have no credit card.
That's my ultimate nightmare. Is like, okay, new card. Send me a new card. Keep the number the same. If you change the number, I don't even know where to begin trying to track down every little thing I have tied to that card.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this has been a nightmare because, well, actually, like, good and bad, I suppose, because, like, they're, like, going through the charges I got attempted, like, since the card was shut off, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm still paying for that dumb thing.
That's true.
Actually, yeah, just turn that off. Not to mention it.
That's funny.
So, yeah, that's been neat. But anyway, I guess we can hop into... iOS game stuff.
Yeah, that's what we should do. We did none of that last week, so.
Yeah. Was there anything that we should have talked about from the previous week that we didn't? I feel like the big news would have been like Rolando. Which we've got. We could just talk about that now. I had that coming up, but
yeah, I think I can't remember last week. I can't even remember yesterday.
Last week, the big news was like it actually like coincided with what I'm doing with Game Club in a way that worked out really well for both Game Club and Rolando because it like played off each other. Because like everyone was like, oh, holy fuck. Like it was just like a coincidence that like we did our thing on like the same day that they put up like the sleeping Rolando guy. But like everyone was like flipping their shit because like it just like, I mean, it made logical sense to be like, oh my God, these guys are like doing stuff with old premium games and Rolando's back. Oh, this is this is something.
Well, it's interesting too, because I feel like Hook Jamp is like a real kind of like a hardcore audience sort of game. Like it was super big in our community and stuff like that. But I wouldn't say it was like your average iPhone user 10 years ago was like, I don't know, super into Hook Jamp or not. I mean, I feel like it's a sort of certain type of person game. But like Rolando was heavily supported with Apple and featured a billion times. And
they
got
even
real
had,
high up in the charts.
They had Rolando themed iTunes gift cards.
Remember that? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like Rolando, I feel like, is something that a lot more of like the mainstream audience remembers as like, oh yeah, I played this game on my phone back when it was, you know, still a new thing kind of. So and Rolando was sort of like the first sort of mascot game for iPhone.
Yeah, I remember there was a lot of arguments being made at the time that like Rolando, NG Moco is like the Nintendo of mobile, and Rolando is our Mario kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
which is pretty wild when you think like how things actually panned out with all that over time, I guess.
Yeah. I like to not think about it.
Yeah, I guess if you weren't around for the early days of the App Store, NG Moco like really blew up. I guess I don't remember where in the timeline Freeverse came in on the NG Moco stuff. Like, was that after they started doing free to play stuff, or?
I don't quite remember either.
Yeah, well, I guess so. I don't remember the actual timeline, but basically, NG Moco launched right around the time, like right when the App Store was new, and everyone else was doing like. I think they might have even been like the first like well-funded developer slash publisher, whatever, that was spending like significant, you know, money and time resources on making, you know, like quote unquote, like real games for mobile.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you had like Freeverse was, and I don't want to say they're the only ones, but like certainly probably one of the biggest ones at the time.
Well, Freeverse also pivoted from Mac development, which I feel like was pretty natural. And they brought a lot of, their games that had been on Mac, right?
Yeah.
Weren't they a Mac developer?
Yeah, they were a Mac developer. Yeah, so they like did like they were, I don't think they were like direct one-to-one ports, but they were like like, oh, we have this Mac game, so let's make a mobile version. Like I don't really I don't remember that kind of nuance with it, but yeah, anyway, so they kind of blew up really big. They started as like the these guys make the real deal premium games on the App Store, and then when they were actually like leading the charge for games, because before, remember, like if you had in-app purchases in an app, the rule on the App Store used to be you can only do that if your game or app was paid.
Yeah, isn't that a crazy thing?
Well, yeah, because I mean, like Steve Jobs himself is on stage, I remember, and was like, you know, we don't want to confuse anyone. Like, you know, we don't want you downloading something that we say on the App Store is free and then have it turn out not to be free.
Right.
So Steve was actually kind of like holding the line on freemium stuff not being a thing on mobile. And it really honestly wouldn't surprise me if like Neil Young and the other kind of higher ups at NG Moco, you know, through lots of goading Apple, weren't probably directly responsible for that decision being flipped around. And it was kind of amazing at the time, because remember when, so they were teasing this game called Eliminate, which you know, if you are a fairly recent iOS gamer, Eliminate was based on what, the Quake 2 or Quake 3 or something, like one of the Quake games, and was it 2-on-2 deathmatch or 4-player total deathmatch? Or
I think it was 4-player total, and you could do 2-on-2.
Yeah, but it was just like super well done. I mean, so you need to kind of understand like the games of the time period, right? So if all the other games on the App Store are kind of like ball rolling games and, you know, kind of other sort of simple games. Then like this company comes out with like a 4-player deathmatch game that admittedly was just like a ultra derivative version of Quake. Which now you might look at it as like, all right, that's sort of lame, like who cares, but like back then it was like, oh fuck, like this is insane, like I can't believe how good this is, sort of thing. And I remember they did a lot of early press events, including what I think the first one would have been at GDC 2010, because you were around then, right? You were,
let's see, my very first the first thing I ever did with Touch Arcade was WWDC, and we did have a meeting with NG Milker. That was my, I was running late when I was supposed to be in San Francisco, and I show up super late, and Blake is waiting for me. I had like a cab waiting downstairs, so I had to like hurry and park and run, and just jump into this cab with Blake, who I'd never met before, and we went straight to NG Moco and did a big meeting. At that time, they were actually spinning off. They were doing like a modern military version of Eliminate with a game called like Weapons Free, I think it was, or something like that. which was the same sort of idea, but it was like not futuristic robots and stuff. It was like military.
And I guess this might have been like WWDC 2009 or 10 or something. I don't know, because you definitely would have gone to it. If it was a thing, but I don't know. Whenever it was. They were like teasing this game, and like everyone they showed it to, it was like just knocking their socks off. And there's a lot of old stories on Touch Arcade and forum threads of like people speculating, like, oh man, this could be like the first $20 iPhone game and all this stuff. And then the kind of free to play swap happened, and like I remember people originally like flipping their shit that it was going to be free. It's like, oh my god, like I was prepared to pay $20 for this, and they're just going to give it away. This is unbelievable. And it's kind of interesting how that whole thing is.
I still maintain that is one of the best free-to-play systems ever, because you could play Eliminate as much as you wanted, and you have this sort of limited energy system, and you would earn like XP to level up your whatever and unlock new items and crap like that. But when your energy ran out, you could still play. You just weren't earning any XP. And so it was like, oh, well, my energy's up, like, whatever. And I'm just going to keep playing matches because you can just keep playing. And I really wish a lot more games did that, to have that sort of limited energy system. Because I feel like one of the worst things in the world is, like, really getting into a game and wanting to play it, but your dumb energy runs out. And it's like, okay, well, you're forcing me to stop playing your game. At least let me play. Even if I'm not earning stuff, at least I'm still playing. But I've often kind of thought, especially with all the resurrection of old iPhone games and stuff, like if we played Eliminate today, if it would be like, sometimes you go back to an old NES game that you thought you loved as a kid or something like that, and you play it now and you're like, this is just trash. This is just hot garbage. And I wonder if Eliminate would feel the same way.
Yeah, I don't know. Like it's interesting because I feel like those old school deathmatch games. Sorry, my dog's barking. I'm trying to strategically mute myself. But the old school deathmatch games, I feel like, still really hold up. Like my friends and I like reinstalled the original Unreal Tournament to just play, like to screw around. It was like still shockingly good.
Yeah.
And like the old Team Fortress is really good. And so I don't know. I mean, like those kind of like deathmatch experiences are just fun, I think. Yeah.
Though that was such a memorable time for me, though, back in the Eliminate days. Like, everyone was so excited to play. Everyone was really heavy talking on the forums, like setting up matches and talking about strategies and stuff. And it was just so much fun. I just remember playing Eliminate like every day for a while.
I mean, that really was like the sweet spot glory days of like mobile, because like at that time period, like around when Eliminate came out, it was still like, you didn't even need to ask where, like what platform a game was coming out on. Like if someone was making it, it was like, oh yeah, of course it's on mobile, because that's like the fucking hottest thing ever right now.
Right.
So I don't know. It's, but anyway, so I guess to get back to the story, they bought Freeverse at some point in there and kind of like rolled them all up together and got into like the Plus Plus network thing. And, a bunch of other stuff. I don't even remember the point of this story.
Maybe because they picked up... did they buy Hand Circus, or did they just publish Rolando?
No, they just published Rolando. Oh,
okay.
So, you know, this game was a highly, highly beloved, like, you know, one of those games that, like, everyone back then really liked, and it sucked that it just kind of, like, vanished.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to have Rolando coming back.
And it looks crazier too. Like, I wish I could go back. I should watch some of the original trailers or something for Rolando, because I don't remember it. I feel like they've done a lot to the visuals to really kind of amp things up or whatever. But I'm really excited to play this game again. It's been so long.
Yeah. No, I'm stoked. Like, it, I mean, like, the problem is the original Rolando was like pre-Retina, wasn't it?
I believe, yeah.
So, like, I bet if you played it now, you're like, oh, wow, this looks kind of shitty.
I don't remember if it ever got updated for stuff like that or not. And then Rolando 2 came out, like, the same year, I want to say. They originally had 1, 2, and 3 all mapped out. And 2 came out, like, not long after. And then 3 was supposed to come out not long after that. And that was when whatever NGMOCO got bought out or whatever the heck happened.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting because, like, they got bought out by Dina, who, like, I guess holds all the IP for these games. So I'm sure there's an interesting story surrounding, like, how the hell they got Rolando back.
Yeah, they also said this is the first Rolando remade. They said on Twitter they would love to do the same thing for the second one. And so I feel like if this gets really well received... and then maybe that'll leave room for them to do 2. And if that does well too, how crazy would it be if they were like, yeah, we're going to make the Rolando 3 we've always wanted to make. Yeah. I mean, if I remember correctly, it was like in production, close to being like finished before it never came out. So that would be a trip if they actually completed it and finished it.
Yeah. Wow. This stat in the story is bananas. 3,735 days after we first reviewed it, saying it was among the best games the App Store has to offer.
That's more than 10 years, right?
Man, like, I really miss the old, like, the glory days of, like, NGMOCO era Touch Arcade was, like, so crazy because, like, it was this very interesting community dynamic in that, like, everyone liked NGMOCO. I mean, like, they had their haters for sure, like anyone, but, like, and, you know, Touch Arcade being, like, the premier place to write about and read about iPhone games, like, they also bought a bunch of ads and, like, site skins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was always funny how it was, like, we would positively review their games because they were good, and there would be, like, a site skin up, and, like, people would just, like, grump about, like, oh, they just paid you to write this review. And it's like, well, don't you agree that the game is awesome? If you're like, well, yeah, but still.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
So, yeah, I don't know. So it's available for pre-order right now. How much is it on pre-order? It's only $3 when it launches?
I think it's $1.99 now, and then I think it's going to be $5 when it launches. I think that's not quite accurate in our story.
I was going to say, that's way
cheap. But whatever the case, the pre-order price is like $5 is cheap. So if you can get it for $2, I would say do it.
Speaking of which, I saw Jeff Scott of... the guy who started 148 apps and then bought Slide to Play posted on the iOS gaming subreddit, like, a very snide, like, if you don't pre-order this game, you have no business being here. The response was not good.
Really?
Yeah. A bunch of people being like, fuck you, I'm out. Then I'm out of here. See ya. I'm not buying a game and all this shit. It's like, man, what the hell? Like, how can you be all about iOS gaming and not buy or pre-order this game? I mean, like, you cannot go wrong.
Poor Jeff. Jeff's such a grump over how everything shook out with mobile.
ultra grump. Yeah. So, I don't know, but this Rolando, I'm super, super excited for it. I'm really stoked to see what happens. I really hope this game does really well. Because Hand Circus is just, man, I got the cat barfing, the dog barking upstairs. This is such a shit show.
Living a zoo.
Living the dream, more like it. Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, I hope that are you barfing noises?
Yeah, the problem is the cat's barfing, like, very close to me too. So, like, just gonna be sitting next to this giant pile of cat.
Can you hold the mic down? God damn it. I'm actually So this comes out on April 4th, and I'm hoping that they email us like a build or a code or something, because I don't want to wait, even though it's only a couple of weeks away.
I'm pretty sure. Did they not email you?
They said we were going to be on the list for a build or something like that, and I haven't heard back yet. So maybe it's just not ready.
But yeah, because I
just am anxious.
I don't remember if I was emailing with Simon or tweeting with them or what, but he said that, yeah, Tetracade's on the top of the list for that sort of stuff. So very cool. Very cool. April 4th is going to be a day to look forward to. I would say this is a effortless day zero purchase.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, other stories. We've got the Fast and the Furious coming to CSR Racing 2, I guess, if that's...
Yeah, they run these limited time events where you can win the various cars that have been in the movies over the years. And so they've done Fast and Furious events in the past. And so I don't know how different this is from that, but it kind of sounds like, and our article is kind of speculating that this is all going to lead up to, there's like a Fast and Furious spinoff movie coming out in August or something like that. So the different events run through like June. And you can find on this story, there's the dates for each one or whatever. I think the first one kicks off like tomorrow or something, maybe Monday. So you can win cars from Fast and Furious. And then if you love the movies and you love CSR Racing 2, you're going to be super stoked to have those cars in the game.
The Fast and the Furious game from SMG Studios is out, right? That's not... Their Thumb Drift.
Yeah, that had to have launched. I don't feel like I've heard anything about that in a while, but I feel like it launched and...
I was going to make a reference to it, but there was a time where it was super secret that it was even coming, so hopefully I'm not like letting the cat out of the bag.
I'm gonna see if I can fact check this.
I'm pretty sure it came out a while ago, but...
I thought so too, but I also feel like I haven't heard anything since, if it did launch, which I don't know if that's a bad thing or what.
Well, it's been so long that hopefully I didn't piss anyone off. But
I also can't keep track of the Fast and Furious movies. Like,
well, yeah, that's just what I was gonna say. Like, so actually, I'll look it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Wikipedia Fast and Furious series?
Because I feel like there was a movie that came out last year. Thumb Drift Furious.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Oh, cool. Wait, no, Thumb Drift Furious. Maybe that's not out. SMG, if that's still a secret somehow.
So Lindsay's super into the Fast and Furious movies, and like we bought the, I don't remember if it was like before the Fate of the Furious came out, which is the last one or whatever, but they had this like zany box set on iTunes where it was like buy all seven for like, you know, like $5 a piece or whatever, which I'm all about value shopping when it comes to movies.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, she had them on, and I just was like, so the first one, like the plot line is like, oh, there's these street racer guys, and you know, like one's, got like a criminal past, but he can't stop from street racing because there's bad guys or something.
Okay.
Right. And then have you seen these movies at all?
I saw like the first or second one and like, that's it. So that was 20 years ago or whatever.
They get like so unbelievably stupid. Like, so, I guess like what happens is like, oh, isn't he like an undercover cop? Isn't that like the, drama?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think that's how the Paul Walker was originally like the undercover cop, right?
Yeah. So
I'm not qualified to answer these questions at all.
I think what happens from there then is like the people that gave him like the undercover cop mission were like, hey, you did such a good job at that, like, let's have you fight more crime for us.
Okay.
Which is where the sequel goes. But like somewhere along the way, like The Rock comes in and they like almost like become like Mission Impossible spy movies that involve street racing for some reason.
Well, I think I want to say we've talked about this on the podcast before somehow, but I've always heard, like, I've always just groaned at Fast and Furious because it's like I'm not really into cars or street racing or any of that stuff. And so it's like, you know, not in my wheelhouse. I've never really cared. But I've always kind of laughed at just how absurd, you know, how many of them they keep making, and always have been like, how do they keep making these new, how is there more? And but apparently from the people that like them, it's because they're so over the top silly and just absurd that it makes them really fun. Like they've almost just turned into these crazy spaghetti westerns or something.
Yeah. Well, that certainly is like how the like Tyler Perry movie
I've always
universe
wanted to
goes.
Watch those too because I just don't get it.
Because like that dude, I feel like I read something that he's like one of the like wealthiest people in entertainment right now because like I've never seen a single movie of this, but I guess like there's just people that are huge Tyler Perry fans and he could put out a new movie every few months and everyone will go see it and then everyone will buy the DVD and all this stuff. So I guess Fast and the Furious is similar, but I don't know, but so that things have gotten so ridiculous that they've like not only had like the whole Mission Impossible kind of like The Rock come in, but now The Rock's character from Fast and the Furious has been spun off into its own thing called Hobbs and Shaw. But it's like, the title of the movie is like Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We saw a trailer for it before.
That's the movie that comes out in August that we think this is all leading up to some sort of high end with the movie launch. So.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like it's, you know, if you like these movies, that's awesome. I just like, I cannot.
One day, like I'm going to dedicate a weekend to just watching them all and just binge. And I don't know. I'm curious to see what it's all about. I'll probably come out. And then the next time you see me, I'll be like Fast and Furious out with like a tricked out Honda CRV and stuff.
Yeah, that's the way to go, I guess. God, sorry for my dog barking. I don't know what's happening outside. Anyway, so let's come into CSR Racing 2. CSR Racing, the series, I've heard like over 1% of the planet plays that game.
I'm not surprised.
Just sort of bananas. So if you're into, we've mentioned this several times with these types of series on the podcast, and that this comes with the caveat that like, I don't know anything about this game series. I don't think Jared knows anything about this game series, but there are people that are just absolutely wild about Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah.
Although, wait a minute, Dynasty Warriors, that's the game that Hyrule Warriors is based off of, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so I do know what this is about then.
Hack and slash a billion people.
Yeah, I thought the Hyrule Warriors game was kind of stupid.
Oh, yeah, I never played it.
Because it was like, I don't know, just kind of just like the gimmick is you're just killing a ton of enemies at one time.
That's pretty much Dynasty Warriors, yeah.
Which I guess is cool, but I don't know. It was neat. It was neat for like an hour.
This is also one of those series where I'm like, wasn't there already a few mobile Dynasty Warriors games, or am I crazy? But it's much like the Fast and Furious. I can't keep track of this series either. So
yeah, I have no idea. But anyway, so Nexon is turning into an open world MMORPG based on Dynasty Warriors 9, which
it sounds like it makes sense.
I don't know. That could be kind of cool if you could get in these huge like battles with buddies and stuff. Like that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Not a whole ton of details about this, it seems like, other than a weird little trailer and stuff, but I don't know.
This is also one of those games that I feel like has a high chance of just never releasing outside of like Asia.
yeah, that's definitely possible. It wouldn't be unheard of either with Nexon stuff. So I saw a lot of people getting excited about this today, even though this, again, I'm not a Dota person. I'm a League of Legends person.
Yeah.
Which is like, it almost seems like you're either like a Pepsi person or a Coke person when it comes to those kind of things, you know.
RC Cola for me.
I love RC. You can almost never find it though. So anyway, Dota has like all these different, like, so Dota being based on the Source engine, which is like super duper customizable and you know, tweakable and moddable and everything else, has all these other mods and things in those ecosystem that you can fiddle with, which makes sense because Dota was originally a mod of Warcraft 3, I believe. I think it was Warcraft 3 because it wasn't Warcraft 2. So they've got this thing called Dota Auto Chess, which is apparently a really popular sort of weird Dota spinoff thing that is coming to mobile.
That's, yeah, without the Dota stuff, which I think is weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, the whole, I don't know, like, it was always weird to me that, like, you could have these spin-off games that are using, like, Valve IP.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's, what, you think they're going to keep, like, the basic gameplay, but it's not going to be, like, a Dota character? It'll be, like, a warrior guy that looks very similar and has similar abilities?
I think it's either, you know, I don't know how it works with using Dota characters, if there's anything involved with doing that, or if it's just free for all or what. But I also think that this company might want to create its own brand for its own reasons, which I feel like if you can use Dota characters, this is one of the most popular games in the world, you should, rather than try and have, like, create a whole new cast of characters. But, you know, what do I know?
Yeah, I have no idea. What's weird is that the Dota characters, to me, like, the reason I always gravitated towards League of Legends more than Dota was that it seems like one of the things that Riot did was, like, put a lot of effort into, like, the, like, making sure that each character feels like an actual, like, character in a game world, right? Like, they have, you know, like, names and background stories and cutscenes and stuff like that that go with them, versus, like, you know, a Dota character will just be like Witch Doctor.
Yeah.
You know, which just, like, always felt like really flat and sort of boring to me. So, I don't know. I'll be curious to see how this plays out, because, like, I saw a couple of friends of mine that are into Dota on Facebook, like, really stoked about this. So, I don't know.
That's the
answer to that. So, Luca Redswood's Photographs is launched. Man, the first week of April is going to be a banger for iOS games.
Yeah.
April 3rd for Photographs. I feel like we've seen this, like, two GDCs in a row now.
Yeah. It was announced in February of 2017, so it's been just over 2 years. So I can't remember if he had a playable build at GDC or not. I think we only actually did video last year of him playing a build. And but I remember when it was first announced, and everyone was like, the teaser trailer was just too teasery, and everyone was like, what the hell is that? That doesn't make me want to buy the game. And so even now, though, it's like 2 years on, and we've seen this, you know, in development, various stages. It's still kind of hard to explain what this game is, which I think is kind of the cool thing about it.
I don't think it's a puzzle game that has a bunch of different types of puzzles. It's like almost reminds me of, like, you know, like Professor Layton games.
Yeah.
Have you doing a lot of puzzles, but there's, like, really only, like, 10 types of puzzles.
Yeah.
Like, Photographs is similar, right?
Or
it was last time we saw it last year.
Well, I think the main thing, too, is how all the five stories, there's five different stories in the game, and I think that they kind of intertwine or whatever in interesting ways. But, I don't know. I think this is going to be rad. I've had a build on my phone that I haven't played in a while, so I'm sort of want to play through it. I'm meeting with him at GDC next week, so I want to kind of be refreshed on everything. But it's just exciting to see that this is actually releasing.
Yeah, no, super stoked for it. I'm a massive, massive fan of everything that Luca's ever done. If you recognize the name, he made 10 million and You Must Build a Boat, and the rarely talked about Smarter Than You.
I could never really get into that game, but I know a lot of people liked it.
I mean, it was. I thought it was clever.
Yeah.
I guess if you never played it, it was like a rock, paper, scissors sort of thing where you could, like, send out, like, taunts and stuff to sort of, I don't know. It's a real hard mechanic to explain.
Yeah.
But what really struck me as super interesting about it was that the way that Luca tried to monetize it was you could buy credits and then tip people. Like, if you had a really good game, like, you could tip them the premium currency, which, do you remember if you could ever use that to buy anything?
I don't remember what it was for, but I remember that aspect of it, that you could, like, send it to other people. And I don't know. I'm curious how well that actually did, because I remember at the time a lot of people being super stoked on that, like sending other people like little gifts or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like one of those things where, I mean, you can't, you know, free-to-play games exist on like preying on your weaknesses to kind of get you to the point where, I mean, like, in, you know, if you play a game like Heyday or something by Supercell, like they've got this fucking dialed in to an extent that's ridiculous. And like, I've watched Lindsay do this where it's like, they have you to the point where it's like, you could get that stuff for free. I mean, like you really could if you worked at it. But it's like, why would you want to put in like the 2 weeks of grinding when you could just pay like a dollar and just get this like next farm upgrade thing?
Right.
You know, like that's where free-to-play games like really make their money. Whereas like you don't have like that compulsion of like, all right, I'll spend money on this.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh, do you just want to do this totally optional thing and give something to someone that you'll never talk to again? And
yeah,
all this stuff. So
it's like the paying it forward in a Starbucks drive-thru.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. So, I don't know. That was a cool game. Luca makes really cool stuff. Super cool guy. You know, nothing but good things to say about everything he does and everything he makes. So I'm sure Photographs will be very exciting. Hopefully it interests people on the level of 10 million and not on the level of Smarter Than You, but I guess we'll see. Yeah, last time I talked about it, it sounded like 10 million, You Must Build a Boat, are still selling, you know, reasonably well to sustain them. So
I believe it.
I mean, they're two super classic iOS games, so.
Yeah.
Let's see, what do we got here? This is a big one. Actually, we can loop this in with the Forza thing, too, because these are kind of like one in the same, right? The Xbox Live coming to iOS and Android.
I don't super understand how any of this is going to work.
Well, so what's interesting is that, like, Apple has, like, systematically rejected things like Hatch, Steam Link, and OnLive, and I'm sure there's other ones that I'm forgetting, but like if you are coming to the App Store as like, hey, here's our app, and then like you use this app to interact with our entire ecosystem somewhere else, to get all sorts of different like content and games and like all sorts of other stuff, like they are not into that. So I'm really curious how all this Microsoft stuff is going to go down, because they're bringing over like Xbox Live features and functionality in a way that like almost sounds like it's going to work like old school, like OpenFaint and Plus Plus and Crystal and all those old like social network score services.
I just wonder if Apple was like sick of Game Center, because obviously they don't care about it. And it never became what it should have been, because OpenFaint was still better in every single way. And finally was just like, all right, fine. You want to bring your own thing in, like do it or whatever. And like, there's some games that have Xbox Live sort of integration into them. Like I play the Microsoft Solitaire collection that has, you can earn achievements for your Xbox Live profile and stuff like that. It cloud syncs through your gamer tag and all that stuff. And there's a few other games that do that too, but I just wonder if is this something that Apple has even signed off on, or is this something that Microsoft is just doing and is just going to hope that everything's A-okay with it? Sort of like how Valve was with the Steam Link before Apple was like, wait a minute, no. So I don't know, but it seems really suspicious to me that they'd be like, sure, just come on in here and integrate your shit into all of our games on our app store. And yeah, that's fine, because they've had serious problems with anything even sort of like that from everyone else. So
yeah, there's definitely something weird going on here, because like, I don't know how they can allow this, particularly like, all right, so the other part of the story is they're doing this Project X Cloud thing, which is basically like every other streaming service. But and it's interesting to me how these streaming services are like, oh yeah, of course you stream this game. Because like, remember when OnLive was new? It was like, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. No one will ever do that. Now like everyone.
It's wild to think about how ahead of the game they were.
I know. Like, I wonder how much that dude kicks himself in the ass for just like not building all that tech and then just like sitting on it for 2 or 3 years, you know? But anyway, so the Project X Cloud thing makes it sound like you're going to be able to play these Microsoft games rendered remotely on like anything.
Yeah.
Including like mobile, and like I've even seen some speculation that like this could be how you play Microsoft games on the Switch.
Yeah.
Which seems bananas.
I have to think that if all of this is going to become a reality, it's because Microsoft and Apple are forging some big partnership that they're going to announce at, you know, WWDC or something like that. Because I feel like all this stuff that they want to do is stuff others have tried to do and gotten squashed down by Apple. But it wouldn't surprise me to see them having like a sort of relationship, because Apple, you know, Microsoft can really do this sort of cloud-based stuff. The only other company I can really think of that does stuff like this is maybe like Google. And I feel like Apple and Google's relationship is really, they don't want to bring Google in to be like a, you know.
Yeah. I mean, well, Tuesday at GDC at like 10, Google's unveiling like whatever they're doing with their streaming thing. So. Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if Apple, who's probably not well equipped to try and do something like this, was just like, sure, Microsoft, like, let's partner and we'll let you do a lot of the gaming stuff and we'll just get rid of Game Center altogether, and then Xbox Live can be like, you know, the iOS versions of online, you know, gaming platform or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you think about it now, like, I don't know, and this is kind of interesting to think about, is that I don't really know how much of a threat Microsoft is to Apple anymore.
I mean, not in the mobile space anymore. I mean, Windows Mobile's like not a real thing anymore. So.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Surface is really cool, but mm-hmm. I still don't really, like, when I look at the, like, iPad product lineup and compare it to, like, the Surface product lineup, like, I just don't, I mean, yeah, I guess they're technically both, like, tablet form factors, but, like, I do not see those as, like, competitors. I see those as, like,
not really.
Hey, if you want a mobile device, like, the best one's the iPad.
Right.
But if you want something that's, like, more of a laptop but could also kind of sort of work okay as a tablet, then, like, get a Surface, which... I just like don't see that as competition.
I don't either, and everyone I know loves their Surface. Like, if anything, I feel like the Surface is more of a competitor with like the MacBook Airs and stuff. But like everyone I know that has one loves them. But they're also, to get a good one, they're super pricey.
Yeah.
So it's not like a $500 iPad or whatever, or nowadays even like a $300 iPad. So yeah, I don't see those as being super big competitors to each other.
Yeah. And they're completely out of the phone business, which like Apple makes most of their money on the iPhone anyway. So, I don't know. And like,
it would lead into a lot of the rumors too, about like the next Xbox being like a streaming, you know, box. And, if Microsoft was just kind of like over trying to be in the hardware game, you know, aside from like the Surface, but if they really want to go heavy with being like a services company, then it would make sense to partner with someone like Apple, who has, you know, there's so many iPhones and iPads and junk out there.
I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me if there's like an official partnership that's behind all of this sort of stuff. Or it wouldn't surprise me if Microsoft was just like, yeah, we're doing all this stuff. We'll see what Apple says. And Apple is freaking out and going to put a, you know, end to it all or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because like you would think that eventually there's going to be a company that comes along that's like big enough that Apple can't tell them to go pound sand on this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And is that Microsoft? Like, I don't know. I don't know who else it would be if it wasn't Microsoft, you know?
Yeah. All right.
So,
very interested to see what happens.
So. The pessimist in me kind of almost makes you wonder if this is going to be one of those things where like, they're announcing it on the iPhone, but then like Apple catches wind of it and is like, no.
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys even talking about? And then it's like,
that's what I was thinking in the back of my mind. Yeah.
This is just one more weird thing on Android. That's kind of cool. That is not going to be something I'm too worried about because I use an iPhone. But either way, like I think the Xbox stuff is really interesting because like Game Center has been like, you know, just like floundering for years, it seems like.
It doesn't even feel like it could exist anymore.
It's sad too, because like, you know, when you look at like, you know, announcement day Game Center feature list versus OpenFaint at that same time. Mm-hmm. And you know, OpenFaint is just one example of a bunch of different services that were doing very similar things around then. But I mean, man, like OpenFaint had like a really cool game directory, really great achievement system. really great like social stuff, so you could see like oh cool, like my buddy just got like these achievements in this game, like we like a lot of similar stuff, so like let me check out this thing that he's playing.
It was essentially Xbox Live. I mean, it was had almost all the same sort of features and worked as well as Xbox Live does.
Yeah, like
it was so awesome. I was heavy into OpenFaint achievements back in the day.
I mean, they even had like a chat system and then like a more persistent like kind of very lightweight forum kind of.
Yeah, they had built-in forums for every game where you could go and ask for help and junk like that. Like it was crazy the amount of stuff OpenFaint had.
Yeah, I mean it was really good. Like if Xbox Live comes in and like they exist as like that sort of service,
yeah,
that's a huge win.
I think that would be great.
And it just seems like really odd to me that, like, so if the scale of the mobile market allows Xbox Live to become like the big thing in gaming, like how weird is it to think that like Apple had that opportunity with Game Center for years and years and years and years?
Yeah.
And like infinite resources to make it like the best version of some kind of like gamer achievement, multiplayer social network thing imaginable. And they just kind of like didn't.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see.
Mobile gaming needs something like that though, too. They need to see, like, you need to have a cool buddy list that has a lot of functionality. You need to see what your friends are playing, what achievements they're getting. I mean, that would just facilitate the growth of mobile gaming so much better in an area that's already so hard, you know, in terms of discovery and stuff like that. Like, if you just had a friends list where it's like, oh, I've never heard of this game that little Jimmy's playing. Let me go see what it is. You know, a direct link to the app store, like, whatever.
I did that a lot with OpenFaint games back in the day because I added, like, all the Touch Arcade forum regulars and like you know, if I was looking for something to write about that we hadn't done yet, I would just look up like what like Zincus was playing and stuff like that and,
totally,
you know, usually it was something cool and
yeah,
it's really weird you can't do that anymore.
It's sorely missed, and Game Center was never even close to being on par. So
so let's see what else we got up here. So if you're into the Holy Potatoes universe game series, I guess Holy Potatoes, A Spy Story is coming the 28th, so not next week, but the week after.
Yeah, this launched on Steam in November, and it's kind of similar to their other games in that it's like a simulation. You know, the Holy Potatoes weapon shop had you kind of running this weapon shop, and then their second one was Holy Potatoes were in space, where you kind of ran this spaceship as you explored, and so they're all kind of like game dev story-ish type simulations, like that sort of thing. This one you're going to be running like a spy agency, but they always weave like story stuff into it and humor, and I didn't even know there was a third game, but it's coming to mobile. So
yeah, these are games I thought were really cool and bought on Steam and have not even downloaded, so
yeah. I think it's interesting, their first two games they released on mobile over the last couple of years had issues when they first launched, where it's like, you know, weird problems with UI or text size, things like that, where you know, a lot of people, especially in our forums, would like complain and then they go back and fix it or whatever. And so for this release, they were like really aware of that, and so they tried to do their best to like rework it for mobile, you know, smaller screens in the best way, instead of just porting it straight from Steam.
Yeah,
so I'm sort of curious to see how that all turns out.
Yeah, that's I don't know, really cool, excited to see where this goes. So
yeah,
I just really like that these games are actually like real deal premium games, because like these this would have been like the whole Holy Potato series would have been like the simplest thing in the world for them to be like, all right, well, we're going to make a free-to-play version of this for mobile.
Right. Yeah.
So pretty cool stuff, I guess. So what's the deal on the Dandara permanent price drop? Give me the lowdown on this.
So Dandara, when it launched last year, just over a year ago, I remember it was kind of a big deal because they somehow coordinated to launch on all platforms at the same time and at the same price across all platforms, which meant $14.99, even the mobile version. And that was just really kind of unheard of. And I think it did okay for them. They've had a few sales since, but they've pretty much maintained having that higher price tag because it's essentially the same exact game as it is on Steam and Switch and wherever else. So anyway, now a year on, and they've decided to actually permanently drop the price of the mobile version. So it's no longer going to be $14.99. It's now $5.99 forever. Plus, you know, they still will probably have occasional sales and stuff. So, yeah, I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing. Like, I don't know if it was they felt like we've squeezed all the juice we can out of this price parity thing over the last year. And so let's see if lowering the price to what's more in line with premium games on mobile, if that does, you know, better for us, or if maybe they just felt like dropping the price. I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting that they launched with the price parity across platforms last year. And now they're kind of changing that up and going with more normal mobile pricing.
Yeah, it's curious. Like, I don't know. That makes you wonder if, like, the sales just completely, like, tapered off and they're doing, like, the whole, like, I don't know, let's lower the price, see if we get more thing, or what. But that's,
I don't know. I'd love to know, because this game is, even at $6, is way worth that. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a long, complete, crazy, super hard game that I feel like is really appealing to, like, a hardcore audience of gamers. So, I would love to know all the numbers behind how it did across all the different platforms and stuff.
Yeah, I'm super. I don't know. Like, I'm excited to see David Martinez at GDC, because this kind of stuff will be the
pick his brain.
Yeah, the brain will be picked and the beers will be drank. Yeah. Basically. hopefully, I run into him. Or I guess they're still doing the whole, like, rent out a loft thing.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Have to barge in on that.
I don't know. I think that's what they do anyway. What's interesting to me about Dandara is that this actually game started on our forums. Like, this originally
like
was
3 years ago or something.
Yeah, like one of those mobile games made by, I think it was just like a team of like one or two dudes, right?
I think so.
And just like working on it slowly but surely, and it was just like posting like constant updates over the course of like years, being like, all right, here's the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which it's interesting that then turned into a game that got launched on multiple platforms with like really no one. And I watched this launch like closely, because I was like, this is going to be something when people are like, $15 for a mobile game.
Yeah. Nobody bitched about it being a mobile game. Yeah.
No one bitched at all.
They played the game right, is all I can really say about that, is they did everything in the right order or whatever that you're supposed to, and not really hyping up that it's a mobile game. I mean, I think if anything, they hyped it as a Switch game first and foremost.
It was real strange to me, because like I feel like the control method of it is like so transparently like based on swipe that I was really expecting people to come back and be like, why can't I just like use the joystick to like move the dude around and jump and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of like the obvious swipe mechanic. But I don't know, maybe I just look at that because like we saw the game with the swipe mechanic for legit years before it came out. So I don't know. But yeah, neat game. Everything Raw Fury does is really cool. Everyone that works for them is really cool, and all that stuff. So this is actually a sponsored story, but like the previous one that we talked about, like, it's just a genuinely cool game. So Life After, which is NetEase's I don't know, like zombie apocalypse survival builder.
Yeah,
that seem.
I feel like it sucks that it's a zombie game, because I feel like that's such an instant turn off to so many people, or even a zombie survival game, because there's so many of those out there. And maybe just because I don't play a lot of desktop games, maybe I'm, you know, this is old news or whatever. But I've never seen a game like this really on mobile before. Where it's not just that you're fighting off zombies and trying to survive or whatever. Like, they really do a good job of like creating this huge world with tons of crazy like resources to collect and tons of stuff to craft and build. Like,
it's bananas.
Literally build like your own little shack and reinforce the walls, and you know, you can build like all sorts of crazy stuff, crazy weapons, items. There's like workbenches to build everything that's kind of like Fallout, and yeah, it's just like, I was so blown away, where I was just like, okay, you know, another zombie survival game, whatever. But once I started playing it, I was like, damn, this is super fun. And it controls really well on the touchscreen too, which I thought was really cool.
Well, it seems like they were able to like copy and paste like, the control method from NetEase's Knives Out, right? That's their game, which...
Rules of Survival.
Rules of Survival.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember which, but like... Because that game controlled really well too. They put a lot of effort into like making sure that that worked well, and it seems like they were just able to like copy and paste that into Life After, which is really cool because the controls work amazing. And yeah, like the particularly with like how modern mobile games have been kind of like become these like bite-sized game experiences more or less, like particularly with the rise of like Ketchup and Voodoo and stuff like that. Like it really kind of like caught me off guard to play a game where it's like, oh shit, like this is something I need to like get into.
Yeah, it's very complex, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And this post in particular was highlighting the cooperative modes that are in the game, which I wasn't really aware of, and I haven't delved too deep into myself, but you can actually like join private camps. You can either join one or start one, and basically work together with a bunch of other people that live in your camp with like gathering resources and completing missions, which kind of helps level up your camp and unlock new things and stuff like that. And there's ways to like, you know, there's a mayor and stuff like that. There's like a hierarchy of people in charge, and you know, anybody that's not really pulling their weight but is trying to kind of like glean all the benefits from the camp, you know, can get the boot or whatever. It just seems like this really cool sort of like,
it's like shockingly complex, really.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it would be really fun for like the power gamers to like get together like a really good camp of people that are really into this game. You could super power game your way up, but and then you can actually do this thing where you become roommates with one of your friends, where you both share the same little house or whatever, and you can share various resources and same sort of thing, like complete different objectives to kind of help each other out or whatever, which I thought that was really cool too. So I am not heavy enough into the game to be like, yeah, I need to have a roommate yet, because I would probably just bring the other person down. But I think it's always a cool thing that exists.
When you get into those kind of like multiplayer collaborative things, like I'd never liked that because like it just feels like too much stress.
It is. It's like, goddamn, if I miss a thing, there's going to be all these people mad at me.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I enjoyed Clash of Clans when it first came out and stuff, but like the clan mechanic there where it was like, if you aren't actively like participating with like whatever battle system, whatever the battle system is called, it's like you're a drag on your clan.
Yeah.
Which is like how they get you to spend money, I guess, but still.
Yeah.
All right, so we run a little long, I guess, but like let's still touch on some of these other like random Apple stuff that I think is worth talking about. So this so there's an Apple event that's been officially announced. Invites have gone out and stuff like that for March 25th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. It is suspected that this is going to wholly cover their news and TV services.
Yeah.
Along with like iOS 12.2 and like there's, you know, some speculation that we might see like AirPods 2 or other things like that, but that seems like a long shot. But
yeah,
I don't know. Like, what's your read on this? Like, would you subscribe to an Apple streaming service?
Well, I'm so settled into, I mean, I'm totally cord cut now, and settled in with my Hulu TV, and it's fine. I think it could be better, but it's got everything I need and it works okay. So I don't really know what Apple could bring to the table that would make me want to switch, because Hulu's on every device I have if I need it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, their back catalog of like content that you can stream is great. But and then now that they have live TV too, it's like, I don't know what else I would really need.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at too, is that like, it seems like the streaming services now, I like the backbone is the exclusive content that's only available there. And then but all of them have like just a absurd amount of filler. And it seems like that filler is kind of sort of similar across all of them. Like maybe not the same thing, but definitely like the same tier of like TV shows and movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, like basically the kind of stuff you would catch if you were like just flipping through the cable channels on like a Saturday afternoon or something like that.
Yeah.
And like, I just like don't know what Apple exclusive content from a video perspective there is that I'm like that amped up to subscribe to something to get, because like they have done a few exclusive shows like that car karaoke thing and stuff, but it's hard to imagine me being like, oh hell yeah, let me like sign up for this like $10 or $20 thing to watch car karaoke and you know, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and you know, other kind of rerunny stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing is like, I have Hulu and Netflix, and there's nothing, I've never really gotten into either of their like original shows. I guess like Stranger Things, but beyond that, it's like, good. Beyond that, like, I feel like that's where it's going to lie, is because all the streaming services now, you know, different movies and old TV shows and stuff bounce around between them. But, you know, the original content is where I think you're going to have to try and get people to be interested in that sort of stuff. Kind of like how everybody wants HBO, because HBO had such good shows that you can only get on HBO. You know what I mean? So you can justify, even though HBO offers no live TV or, you know, whatever, it's just them with their shows and movies, but people are down to drop $10 a month on that sort of thing. So, that's what I think Apple has to do for anyone to get interested, is have a really strong lineup of like original content. And I think that's what they're going to try to introduce at this event, but I don't know that it's going to be anything that amazing, really.
Yeah, I don't, it's weird, because like I think that the other problem they're going to run into here is that like so we subscribe to Hulu, Netflix, and HBO. And like, I feel like I'm kind of like capped out on.
I don't even have time to watch everything I already have.
Well, I mean, like, well, that and like, I feel like adding, I like spend like what between those like $40, I guess, total with tax and everything. Yeah. Like, I don't want to add another thing onto the pile there. Like, because like, if I want to watch something, it is impossible that between those three services, like, I won't find something that I want to watch.
Right.
And like, I don't know. I've kind of gotten out of the whole like, oh, I must see this brand new thing like the second it comes out, you know, because there's just like so much content now that like, I don't really care when I watch something, and like eventually I'm sure stuff will come other places, or I'll see it somehow and whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think their other strategy might be some sort of bundle with Apple Music, or maybe their new news service too, kind of bundling everything together into one. Might add some more value, or if you're already an Apple Music subscriber for $10 a month, if they're like, hey, for 15 you can also get this TV stuff you're doing, people would probably be like, okay.
Well, so my hesitation still on that kind of stuff is that, like, so for instance, like my Netflix subscription, like you can watch Netflix on freaking anything. I mean, like, you know, like you, I could plug in my Wii U and watch Netflix on it. You know, I could, like, the treadmills at the gym, I can log into my Netflix thing and watch stuff on like the screen. And Apple's thing is going to be like Apple exclusive. Like, it'll be Apple TV, iOS. Like, I'll be really surprised if you can watch it on Windows.
Right.
Which is like, I don't know. It seems like an unnecessary restriction, but like, it honestly wouldn't surprise me if like the big reveal of this event, is that they're just going to make like one encompassing thing, and that like iCloud gets you access to, you know, like news, TV, music, more storage for your phone, all this other stuff. Because like, if you look at the direction Apple has gone, it's been like deeper and deeper down the subscription rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You know, like getting people on their upgrade program and like all this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, back in the day, they used to have MobileMe, or .Mac, I guess, before then, and like that was just like a $100 upsell that went with every single computer people bought, because it's like, well, I guess I'll get this. Why not?
Right,
and
right.
when you think about it, like, iCloud is not really that same upsell for most people. Like, you get what, like five or 50 gigs free or something like that. Which I think for most people is like, I don't know, but I can back my phone up to this thing, I guess, like, that's fine. I don't really care beyond that. So, but like, if they can turn all those people that don't really care into like, oh, all right, for $20 a month, like, I get all this space online and, you know, TV shows and music and news and stuff, like, like, that's fine. Let's do it.
I think that's probably going to be their focus, is to try and have this all encompassing sort of services thing.
Yeah.
Which that would make sense to me. And I don't know, I'm so deep into the Apple ecosystem anyway that it might sway me to be like, yeah, it'd be nice to have everything be just under one big Apple thing.
Yeah, I guess.
But who knows?
Yeah.
Very interested to see this event, though.
So, yeah, that's March 25th, so not it's 10 days from now. I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I guess like we know what's probably going to be announced. I'm just very curious about the details of it all. So.
Yeah, right.
So we'll see. So with that, that's going to be this week's episode of the Touch Arcade Show. Next week might be a little weird because we're both going to be at GDC.
Yeah.
We can figure out something fun, though, I guess.
Yeah.
Might not have video. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll bring recording equipment to the Tempest, and we'll record a podcast at the Tempest Bar. Just getting shit hammered.
We could, well, we're doing that lunch thing on Wednesday with a couple of people. We could just record this.
Yeah.
Just put the iPhone in the middle recording audio and just upload that.
And then blackmail. Yeah. Blackmail fuel.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of the Touch Arcade Show. Again, if you like the show, like what we do, you can back us on Patreon at patreon.com/TouchArcade. If you do any Amazon shopping, I'd really appreciate it if you do it through toucharcade.com/Amazon. And with that, we'll catch you next week in some form of the Touch Arcade Show.
Probably.
Otherwise, 2 weeks from now for the normal episode. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the flip side.